Weird.
I can't remember this one.
Well, it's not the first one.
No, that I would remember. Imagine if I missed one of my lines.
Welcome to The Story Thinker, a Webtoons and Witcher podcast for superfans with scene-by-scene analysis. Featuring sharp co-hosts for a fuller picture, we dive deep into character psychology, relationships, and theories. We'd love it if you could like, subscribe, comment, and rate us on all podcast platforms and social media. For bonus content, you can support The Story Thinker on Patreon. Let's begin.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to our Witcher trivia episode with two of our Witchers. We have Everard and Jota, who is Gwyn. So I will let these two say a little bit about themselves before we start our game.
Well, I'm Jota. I'm very pleased to be here, and hopefully I'll win Everard. And let's see how this goes. He's the expert, but hey, let's go and get it.
Yes, hello everybody. I'm Nathaniel Jacobs, and I play Everard in The Witcher Season 2, and I was also second assistant editor. But that doesn't mean I'm going to do well, trust me.
Well, but hey. According to our interview, we had an interview with Nathaniel, and hopefully we'll have one with Hota soon, but you watched this, like, you watched a lot in your editing process, so I think that you have the highest chance of winning.
Everybody's going to be so disappointed in my performance, considering I have seen it so much.
So I also have to say, I don't know how difficult these questions are because I did them as I was watching it. So when you have the scene right in front of you, it's like, oh, of course there's like seven knives or whatever. But, you know, I don't know if it's necessarily, I don't know. We'll see how challenging it is. We'll see. So the way it is it's basically there's five questions from every episode. So there's 40 questions. And the first three questions are general trivia questions. And then the last two questions from every episode are like, who said this? Basically, you know, you'll have a phrase from the episode, and then you have to say, you know, who said it. So it's in order. It's in order of every episode. So I think that makes things a little bit easier. I'm going to do another game where the quotes are just randomly like out of order for the like for other Witcher podcasters. And we'll see how they do. I think it'll be much more difficult when it's out of order. But this is sequential, so I think you can
go. All right.
Let's do this.
Okay. Yeah. Here we go. Start. And I'm going to read it out loud also for any audio people. People are listening only. What is banging when the merchant's family enter the abandoned village? Bucket, door, lantern, or shutter? Oh, okay. Well, yes, it was a bucket. And, Everard is in our lead. That's
okay.
Just the first question. What does Geralt have nightmares about? His mother, Visenna, a flaming dragon, a Striga biting him, an overly friendly rock troll. Nice. Awesome. Oh. I guess that was memorable. Never mind. I thought that was one of the easier ones.
Just need the right one.
Nivolin's father hired Geralt to clear his woods of a blank infestation. Kikimora, Wyvern, Basilisk, Chernobug. Yes, awesome, you got it right. Wyvern infestation. There's actually, it's mentioned a little later, but I don't know if I have another trigger question on it, but there's potentially another one on it.
Behind you.
She wasn't asking your permission. Who said this? Yennefer to Philavandrel, Philavandrel to Pangella, Ligafor to Sartorius, Geralt to Vesemir. Looking for Sartorius. Nice. Okay, what made you guys remember that line?
I can tell you that there was something very special. Well, not special. There was something when we were cutting that I was actually involved in with to do with the ADR, which is the only reason I remember it.
Okay. How about you, Jota?
I did remember that line, yeah. This is like one of the moments where you can see how he defends her. That it's just like nothing is told until later on the show, but that's one of the pieces that actually gets it all together at the very end.
So that's good because I was totally surprised when I saw Desea and Belgefortz together. And then I, like other people pointed out, they're like, well, it was literally mentioned at the end of season one by the battle where they're like, oh, let's enjoy tonight.
Yeah, but.
I totally did not remember.
Good point. Thing, too.
Yeah, so that's a good point, right? That's showing the relationship.
Yes.
All right. Forget faith, we've got power. Yennefer to Cahir, Francesca to Philavendril, Yennefer to Fringilla, Valia to Germaine.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Nice, yay. Yennefer to Fringilla. Okay. So, yeah, I guess if you guys have any commentary about any, you know, what made you remember, please feel free to share for every question.
Oh, I can't really remember when this is happening, but...
I can.
Okay.
Sorry, very quickly, it was because this was something that when I was doing the very first trailer, it was in.
Oh.
Okay.
The one that dropped at WitcherCon. There we go.
Yeah, for me, it's very indicative of Yennefer versus Fringilla, because Fringilla is like, you know, I have faith in Emir and faith in the White Flame. Mm-hmm. And Yennefer's like, that's bull crap. Yeah. She's obsessed with power.
It's funny because, again, you guys obviously know it from watching the show, where, like, obviously there'll probably be bits where Hotta knows it from obviously being in it, but because obviously I saw it so much in the cutting rooms, this is where a lot of it comes from for me, rather than obviously watching it when it's done or being in it. It's more at the moment just from like seeing it repetitively in the cutting rooms. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know more, that's the thing. You'd seen more, especially because it's in all the raw material. Mm-hmm. And as you know, many of the scenes were just shot with the other group of actors. So we haven't met all of them. So some mm-hmm. of the scenes, obviously, we haven't been part of, and we haven't even met some of the rest of the cast. Mm-hmm. So it's, we're all viewers at this point.
I forgot to ask, I'm assuming you've watched all 8 episodes for that?
Have you? Oh, yes, we have.
Okay.
I mean, I have.
It's fine, yeah. All right, last one for episode 1. Gerard, you have a streak. Nice. Oh, actually, it's episode 2. What stone is Yana wearing around her neck during her dream? Amethyst, tiger eye, rose quartz, jasper. I think it's a tough one. Okay.
Oh, both wrong.
Yeah, it was amethyst, which makes sense because it's purple and her eyes are purple. So that's why I noticed it. Also, I happen to love purple. So.
Yeah. The small details.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I put tiger eye in because it relates to like one of the other stories I podcast on. The guy's name is Tora, which is tiger in Japanese. Mm. So
too bad. It's actually purple is my favorite color. So
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah, that's the backdrop of my podcast. Okay, what is Francesca in the middle of doing when Fringilla and Yennefer are brought to her? Reading a spell book, dipping water on her forehead, mixing a potion, and canting a healing spell.
I can see it, but I can't figure it.
About this one. We have 3 seconds left, by the way, so I might just click something. All right, dipping water on her forehead. Yeah, it was, I didn't think anyone would really be paying attention because it wasn't that important. But I was like, that's why, let's put it in.
I didn't know if he was doing more. I sort of half remember the action, but didn't know if it was related to something else. So that's why I sort of had to hesitate.
No, I missed on this one. No.
I'm assuming it was related to something, like it looks like some spell, but yeah. What did Eskil drink to ease the pain of his sting? Stramonium, ale, mead, elixir. Nice. Okay, you got it.
Cool. Like, if either of us got that wrong.
I don't know. I guess it's also more distinct. Like, the other ones are kind of, like, easy to remember. Ale and mead are, like, regular things, and stramonium is unique.
Yeah, we all drink ale.
But we're in the scenes. We heard it a lot.
Okay. Yeah, I tried to put a bunch of Witcher-related stuff in here, so it'd be a little easier. The lying bard in his tunes, who said this? Geralt, Philavendril, Rhiannes, or Yennefer?
Oh, God.
Oh,
shit.
Yeah, it was when, I think it was like middle of the forest, Yennefer and Fringilla were talking to Philavendril, and they mentioned something in the song, and he's like, I think they said they knew him from the song, and he's like, oh, that lying bard in his tunes.
Oh, of course, because they obviously as well met in episode 2, season 1.
Mm-hmm.
I should remember that.
Yeah.
My bad.
It's funny. I was just listening to a podcast where they said they couldn't recognize Tom Canton from the first one, season one and season two. They're like, is it the same guy? I'm like, yeah, it looks exactly the same, just longer hair.
Yeah, he's met Tom. He's really tall.
Oh, yeah?
He's a nice guy, but he's also really tall.
How tall is he? My husband is 6'4", right? So he's Dutch, and they're like the tallest men on planet Earth. So ever since then, like, anyone who's not 6'4 is like not tall.
He's, I think he's probably about 6'6".
6'6"?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Maybe, that is tall. Might even be smidgen taller, but I know he's tall.
Well, you were tall. So,
no.
That's that is tall. That's cool. Yeah, and in America,
sorry,
like,
I'm
we could Google it. Be a little stalkery. So this is where witchers are hatched. Ciri, head prostitute, Triss Rience. Yep. Head prostitute said that, Imogen Danes, when she meets Geralt, is like, oh, so this is where you guys are. And that's what actually.
Yeah. This is Danica. Here we go.
Yes.
Wait, is she Danica? Right. Okay. Danica, yeah. That's how you pronounce it. Yeah. Was her name ever said out loud? I don't remember if it was ever said out loud.
She does in the same episode later. She goes, Danica, you fool.
Okay.
When she goes, something about bringing her favorite horse to a witcher den, Danica.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I liked it. My favorite part about this was that she's like, oh, you know, Ciri would be, you know, great if she came to work with me. And he's like, no. And I'm like, girl, that's a little hypocritical of you, because like, you slept with her, you used her services a couple of years ago, but you don't want Ciri to do that. It's like, you know, good for her, but not for him. You know, not for Ciri.
He knows that she's a better person than he is.
She's like, I hope she comes back.
That scene was actually the first one we shot, right? Nathaniel?
No. We shot 2-9 and 2-9A first, and then that was the same week, but the very first scene that we shot was scene 2-9. And that was literally the very first scene that we're in where I'm lying at the back, you're at the table.
Was that Paul's monologue?
Yes.
When it started telling the tale. Oh, okay.
Yeah. That was, and that was the 3rd of September 2020. We got there on the 2nd, didn't film anything. And then
how much did you deal with this guy?
Exactly. If you
were really off.
Do you remember all dates like this well?
I'm good with dates. Names, I'm terrible with, but things with numbers I'm pretty good with.
Wow, I'm impressed. And how does it work with scenes like 29 ABC? Like, what's the 29 and what's the ABC part?
Sorry, 2-9. So it's
episode, I guess.
In theory, it's actually 202-9 and then, or 09, and then we have 202-9A. 202 is season 2, episode 2, and then 9A is the scene.
Sequences.
So, like, how big is, let's say, 9? What does 9 encompass? Like, what's included in 9?
So that in to scene 9, that is when we open with the shot after Geralt and Ciri in the courtyard for Kaer Morhen. When they walk through the door, that is the beginning of scene 9. And that goes all the way up until just before Paul starts telling his story. That's 9A, when the camera pans past the barrel on the table and Paul's leaning over and he goes, so there I am, standing in the middle of a grain field. Yeah.
Right. That's impressive. How long does it take? This is, you know, generally, like, how long does it take to shoot, you know, I don't know, every letter or something?
Well, so not all scenes have letters after them. It's usually if a scene is same place, same people, but broken down into separate parts. So 2-9 is obviously when you first meet all the witches at Kaer Morhen, and 2-9A is slightly later in the day, now that we're sort of all back and chilling and stuff, and that's when Lambert tells his story. There are other points in other episodes, of course, where there are like scenes that have been split in half, like in episode 206, scene 11B, that's the one. So 11A, what happened in 11A? What happened before it? But 11B is when we are in the hall I was about to say we walked in, but that bit was cut. And it's, we've got Triss in, and we accuse her of being associated with Reince.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that's where...
Oh, right, that one. Okay.
Yeah, turn and go. When I'm sort of talking to Paul, and then we accuse her, and she storms off and whatnot. Yeah.
Well, as you can see, you know, Daniel is in a, it's an encyclopedia when it comes to when it comes to different scenes and all. I mean, after all, he's part of Assembled at all. So,
Oh, well.
How much can you compete with this guy?
That was the scene I actually did the temp sound for 11B. I was offered to assemble it, but I said no, because I said I didn't want to have anything to do with cutting, because obviously there would be sort of a bias, but doing the temp sound work,
it would be like, if you were cutting, I'd be like, here's Everard, and here's also Everard, and here's Everard again.
Well, allegedly, legend has it that there is, I did do a joke cut of that scene too, which we jokingly called the Everard cut. And it must exist somewhere, but it starts and it's got the whole walk in. There's me, Max, Paul, Yaz. We've walked into the hall, and then there's one cut that literally everything is just on me, the whole thing. And there's another one where every reaction to every line is just me.
if you can find it, and if it's like shareable, we would love to see it.
I'll have to have a word with the lovely team at Netflix one day, maybe. But anyway, awesome. Yes, I digress.
All right.
Here we go.
Question.
Still winning.
you can try. Whose name did you say are right on the list of killed mages right before Yennefer's? Lita, Ned, Sabrina, Glevisig, Archoa, Chernova, Yoel, Grethin.
Well, I'm going to play it safe, this one.
Was Yoel, Grethin. I know that was a tough one. My husband's name is Yoel, by the way, so maybe I chose
there we go. That.
He spells it like that, too, which is cool.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Okay, this is pretty easy. What is the color of the dress Sabrina is wearing before they enter the pool? Turquoise, burgundy, gold, black. She wears it all the time, so.
It's the I missed that one.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
My bad.
Yeah, it's a beautiful dress. And turquoise, purple, favorite colors. Kind of have it in the back there, so.
Subliminals.
Who was Falco's father? Roche, Yerveth, Rydonk, and Verfuril. I actually don't even remember this one. Okay, I think I know this one.
I remember this one.
He was a king. Oh yeah, you all got it. Rydonk. Nice. Uh-huh. Yep. This is our lovely racist Stregobor making stories. Yeah, this is episode 3. Oh, I know what killed him. You guys have to know.
I don't know.
Who said it? Lambert, William Vestmember.
Right? Yeah.
How many times did you guys hear this while shooting?
We were there, just right on the right side of the scene, really.
We were, but I wasn't there. That was episode there. 3. And I remember the day you guys filmed that, because the day before was the day I spent up on the wall outside. And then
they're like practicing outside.
I was in scene 301, you guys were in scene 302. That's why I'm not there, because I'm still on lookout.
Yeah, I was there with Chewy, and I think it was Mascus as well. I think so. Yeah.
What kind of instructions did you guys have, like when you're in the background of a scene, what were you guys supposed to be doing? Watching?
I know exactly. I can tell you about scene 301. I won't go loads, but that day, again, that was the day that I've already spoken to you, Mindy, about this, about when Henry sort of waved and I couldn't see my lenses, and I was like, is he waving at me? And I took a little. up there, actually, I was having a ridiculously stupid laugh with Faz, who's one of the ADs. And most of that day, I was almost in tears. And he was making a face at me when I was walking back and forth at that point.
Oh, gosh.
Hiding down. There was actually a crane shot that, hence, which is why I had my lenses in, that sort of went up and over the wall that didn't get used. But that day in particular, when I'm doing my strafing back and forth, when I'm up there, Faz is making me laugh. There you go.
Nice. I'm impressed. I'm not a very funny person, so whenever people are funny, I'm impressed.
Faz is brilliant.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. And I think we're getting... Okay, wait, one more line from episode 3.
Let me check.
Some things are far too scary for little girls. Nivellen to Ciri, Yennefer to Ciri, Lambert to Ciri, Geralt to Ciri.
Oh!
Yes! I'm shocked. Yeah.
I thought it was Nivellen.
Mm-hmm. So this is all within this episode. That's kind of should give you a clue because Nivellen was only in episode 1. And we're in
some
episode.
Things are far too scary for little girls. Mm-hmm. I'm not little. I'm not afraid.
Oh, yes. There you go. So oh, sure. Just cite the rest of the scene. Mm-hmm. 4 correct answers in a row. Cool. All right, we're episode 4. What town are Yennefer and Cahir first hiding in? Oxenfurt, Redania, Borsvalen, Novigrad. Okay. Yeah, it was Borsvalen. And it was a little difficult, by the way. I don't know where it's mentioned, but it was definitely obscure because they moved to Oxenfurt right afterwards. Like the ship is from Oxenfurt.
Yeah, that's my bad.
So, a little bit of a trick question.
No, it's a good one. It's a good one. Got me. You got me.
Yeah, I wonder if it's even mentioned in the episode or if I just found that online. I don't know. Okay. What topic do the witchers try to hint at Ciri to keep quiet about? Mushrooms, training, Eskel, Sintra. I'll give you a hint. It's when Triss is there.
I know. I know.
You know this one?
Mm-hmm.
Ciri well, starts talking about wrong, it.
But
4 seconds left.
Lambert leans in.
No.
Yeah, did you pump your head?
Right. She's like, oh, where are the mushrooms today? And yeah, they're like, mushrooms, it's winter. Which I didn't get at first because I thought that she was actually asking in the end because she was a princess and she was used to having like everything in her palace. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, you're spoiled. Like normal people don't have mushrooms in the winter. But I didn't understand it that they were giving her like witcher mushrooms.
Well, I do remember we had a bunch of mushrooms that day.
Oh, yeah? Like, really? By the way, I was looking at the food on the table, and all I saw was bread. And I was like, was there any other food on the table?
Yeah, we had a mushroom soup as well, and it was actually good at the beginning. But again, as we take many shots of the same scene, it was fucking cold. Yeah. But it was quite nice, actually. It wasn't that bad.
I didn't have the mushroom soup. I think... No, I remember that scene.
And cheese as well.
I was eating bread and cheese that day.
The cheese was really good as well. All I can remember is the food, really.
The food was good.
Did you guys have like food on set, like to eat?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, not in the scene. I mean, like for lunch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. We always stopped.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Breakfast,
we had
lunch,
a little tent and we had everything we wanted there, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Always. No, the mushroom soup was not pulled from like the lunch table. It was made for that scene.
No. We also there are points where we do have beer, non-alcoholic beer, but we had beer.
Mm. Non-alcoholic because
just you don't have to drink on set. Yeah, because I would have been blow going. Oh, I remember my lines. But...
I could only take half a pint, so that's what it takes.
That's how many times you're shooting the same scene, how drunk you get.
Yeah, first take, everything's great, like seventh take,
everyone's a bit too happy,
right?
Joyful.
Method acting,
right? Okay. What happens right after Cahir says we're safer down here than we are up there? An octopus creature grabs his leg. Balian puts a knife to his neck. The sewer starts flooding. Brick crashes on his head. Yes. Okay. Awesome. You guys got it.
I was going to go for the Octopus. That would be the fun one.
Right. Well, I think that you guys would remember if like it started flooding and a bridge crashed. I think those are pretty obvious, like not choices. They really did not happen. Yeah. This isn't the end I'd hoped for. No. Who said this? Everard, Yaskier, Yennefer, Cahir.
Weird.
I can't remember this one.
Well, it's not the first one.
No, that I would remember. Imagine if I missed one of my lines.
I think I'm going to go for this one. Yeah.
It was Cahir. And this is when he's acting all crazy in the cell. Yennefer walks by him and they have a conversation. So I'm pretty sure that's from here, where he looks like a crazy fanatic, which he is. haven't had me fill of grog yet, and already the women are doubling. You should know this one. Who says this? The bar patron, Lambert, Doc, Guard, Talbert. I'll give you a hint. This lady here, Triss. Yes, Lambert does it when Triss comes in to Kier Morhen.
That's a very Lambert line.
Yeah, that's why I went for it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, I think we're moving into episode 5.
Okay.
Oh, Gwaine's with the streak.
What did the barmaid say her playmate's brother's ears look like while they're singing? Her brother's ears look like cabbage, cauliflower, carrots, or coriander. This is when she says playmate's brother was deaf and she wishes she was deaf too. It was cauliflower. It
looked like cauliflower.
Yeah, it was. I tried to make it confusing. They're all seeds, they're all vegetables.
I remember there's something, I can't remember exactly why, but I went through that scene a lot in the edit. But I think I did the rushes for that scene. But there was something else that was stood out about it, and I can't remember what. But it was something about, yeah, this particular part that stood out.
I remember reading that it was shot like in an outside set, and that's why everyone's like freezing and their breaths are showing.
Tell you a little secret in regards to that as well? That scene was the same as where we shot our very last day in the tavern in episode 5 as well. They have finished filming that bit, I think, a few days beforehand, if not the day or so beforehand. And then it was redressed for us in episode 5 in the old Doja. There you go.
Oh, okay, yes.
Not cold at all.
I was about to say, and that day, I think we had a high of 2 degrees because we shot that, I think it was on the 10th of February as our last shooting day. And it was freezing. And Eamon, who plays Cahir, was taking the piss out of us. There we go.
Yeah, what's it like? I mean, I don't know. I guess, do I not
it was raining
cold?
As well.
What?
It was raining as well when we got out.
Oh boy.
So it wasn't helping much.
It was a good but strange last day. It was, but it was very cold.
It was sad. It was really sad.
Yeah, but it was nice. That was the first day that we had been on set with SAs, with extras, because... otherwise, we didn't have any scenes with any throughout the whole thing because obviously we're in Kier Morhen. So
yeah.
That was nice.
Do you guys like get into coats in between takes?
We had a heater under the table, and occasionally,
didn't help much. No.
That was when we had Wilson sat with us as well. Wilson, who plays Dara.
Freezing, but behind.
Yeah.
Is that who's Wilson?
Sorry?
Who's Wilson?
What? Who plays Dara?
Dara, okay, yeah.
Yes, yeah. We he had sat at our table in between takes. He sat with, he was an honorary witcher for the day.
That's cool. Yeah, I guess was it fun for you to like meet the other characters finally? Because you know, other scenes were just
harder.
Yeah, we did we did do like his God Brain for Christmas, like on set. We sang some Christmas carols and all. And during that time there, I think it's when we only had a chance to meet Jennifer and who else was there? I think it was Anya and I think it was just Anya really that we got the chance to actually meet her because we didn't have much time all together. And that very day, we were all filming. We got all that stuff on our phones that we can all be sharing. But it was a great day, and that was the only chance that we had to actually meet Anya. It was really nice. Apart from the party that Nathaniel went to, the editing team we weren't invited to.
Yeah, so I had the fortune of meeting
cast. And Joey as well. He was there too.
I had the fortune of meeting some of the cast at the end of season one, the wrap party of season one. Mm-hmm. I met Joey. There's a few, which were, everybody was obviously super lovely. Like I met, that's when I first met Freya, who else? There was Joey, there was Freya, there was Wilson, there was...
Anna as well.
Anna. Of course. Yeah. Therica.
Okay.
I met Therica then as well. Yeah. And then so I met them all obviously on season one as from editorial. Then season two, it was funny to sort of meet people. Like I obviously at the post rap party, Joey was there again. So because I didn't have any scenes with Joey, but saw him again at the post rap party. That's when I first met Anya as well. And Therica was there as well, and Tom and a few others. So it's nice to sort of see some people again and meet some new people. But yeah, it's weird because there's a few people again saw on set, like at unit base, like at our trailers and stuff, some days. But they were obviously...
Also, the COVID protocols didn't help much.
Yeah.
Yes. Like in bubbles and completely separated, so we kind of couldn't even talk to one another, really.
No, you see somebody from far away and it's like, like we would shout from our trailers across the way, like, how are you doing? Or a lot of the time, Hota, you were next door, but occasionally you were across the way. I think Chewy was almost always next door to me, I think.
I had Lambert next to me as well.
Mm.
Some days. And yeah, it was a shame because I think we could have had a nice group there, but because of the COVID, we needed to be separated, and it was that's the one thing I didn't really like much, but it is what it is. Mm. We couldn't risk it. So.
No, exactly. And we're all alive and well.
Yeah.
I hope things are different for season three, because it must be like, this is a big part of your life, and you seem pretty social. Most people like socializing with people,
Exactly, yeah.
Not me.
That's funny. On my list, I made a list of like 10 things that I was looking for in a husband when I was dating, and one of them was like super social, because I know that if I don't have a social life, I'm like a wilted flower. So I knew I needed that.
That's fair. That's always a good thing to look for in someone, rather than being like completely closed off and never wanting to go out.
And some people like get easily overwhelmed by too many people, so just fine.
That's how I feel now when everything is open and no one is wearing masks anymore and the clocks are anywhere, and I'm just like, I'm trying to process all that stuff, but well, we'll see the following season how they go.
Yep. All right, next question.
Okay.
Everard, you're doing quite well.
I'm trying.
Where did Geralt abandon Yaskir? Isima, Caragorn, Balin, Caedwin. This is by the dragon episode. So there, he refers back to, like, you abandoned me on the mountain. Where was that mountain?
The mountain?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. And I should know this.
One of you got it.
I got it.
Yeah, he got it right.
Yep, Caragorn. And again, I don't think it's mentioned in the episode. You just have to know it from season one. So it's
that's why I had to cast my mind back thinking, because I know I've heard it. It is mentioned in season two, of course, but I just had to think back, like, Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually, I've been reading, like, with fantasy, I sometimes have trouble keeping track of all the names because it's like all these new names. It's like 50 new names. So it's hard.
I need to erase information in order to get a new one. So it's fine. I'm recycling it all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you I guess, Ota, what was your experience with The Witcher before you started? Like, did you know the universe in any way?
Funny thing about the show is I wanted to get in the show for season one because it was shooting in Canary Islands. Mm-hmm. And I was living by then, I was living in Madrid. And I wanted to get into that show like crazy. And one day I did an audition for a show called Mysterious Monsters that no one knew anything about. Mm-hmm. And it ended up being The Witcher. And I only found out when I got into the audition with Nathaniel, and he told me, like, well, you know, we're going for The Witcher, right? It's like, what? Who are you? And that's the only moment I found out what I was getting into. But yeah, I mean, I didn't know they were doing the show, and I knew it was a video game, but I wasn't really much into it. I just saw that it was going to become a huge thing, a huge phenomenon. And the only news that I got about the show was getting some information and some news that I read about Henry Cavill landing the role to play The Witcher and some pictures that they showed. And the next thing was that they wanted to shoot it in the Canary Islands. So I was like, I need to get into that show. And yeah, I got into the show.
So I guess, first of all, what made you want to, when you heard about it, what made you want to audition for it?
Because usually when it's like a video game, it has a huge fandom behind it. It usually is a good thing to be part of. Mm-hmm. And I did some research on the show, and it was going to look really good. It was about to be the next Game of Thrones and all that. So I was like, well, I couldn't make it to Game of Thrones, so I better get into this one. And yeah, I was really excited to get part of it and to be part of it. And then I started reading the books, and I couldn't get to play the video games yet, but I had Chewie with me. We were sharing the same house by then. And he briefed me and everything on everything. I was like, here's another encyclopedia. And it's a shame he couldn't join us today, but it would have been really tired from between him and Never. Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah. So when you auditioned, you didn't know that it was The Witcher. Like, they pretended it was, meaning did they say it was called Mystery Monsters, or they're like, well, we're not telling you.
No, it's you're auditioning for a fantasy show, and it's just going to be shot in England, in London. And nowadays, when you audition for anything, really, the first thing you have to do is sign an NDA, no matter what the project is. And sometimes they tell you the name of the show or the project, but they tell you the working title name. So it never is the actual project itself. So until you get there, until you actually go on set or go to the screen test, you will never know what show it is. That's the fun about it.
Did you audition with actual lines from the show, or was it like something else?
Well, I think it was the same for you, right, Nathaniel?
But we had the same script.
We had like lines for two characters, and I was like, so which is my character? Which one do I have to audition for? Like, no, both of them. I was like, all right, so let's get down to it. And those lines never came out from the show.
No.
Like, two or three pages to learn, like, in 20 minutes in order to shoot it. And I was like, wow. But yeah, I don't know. Well, you might know something behind the scenes about that.
Yeah, so, like, as I said, we got the same script, which I still have. And it was... it's pulled specifically for an audition. So it's set in the world, but it's literally written just for an audition. And I was only auditioning for the one character, and there were three characters in the scene, which ended up being myself, Jota, and Chewie, their lines. But I was obviously only auditioning for the one. But I knew that when I got... when Sophie, the casting director, reached out, I knew who my character was at that point. So that's where it differentiates. Because, yeah, like, hearing what you guys went through in comparison to, like, what I went through, it's interesting because we're, you know, essentially on the same playing field, but like I just had a little bit more knowledge.
Information, of course you did.
More knowledge before and more knowledge after. That's similar. How many years ago did mages create Witchers? 200, 300, 400, 500. And Vesemir tells this to Ciri.
Ooh.
300. Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty recent. I was surprised. I thought they would have been around for like longer. How long do Witchers live for? Because like
it depends. Eventually they just slow, don't they?
When they die.
That's it. Obviously they age a lot slower because we're all around sort of 90 odd years old at this point.
I'm like as capable as you guys at 90.
It's moisturizer, darling.
We're gonna make it to 100 though.
Mr. Big 100. Vesemir, how old is Vesemir? Because he had Deglan before him. I think for this, actually, without saying too much, you'll have to just watch Blood Origin when that comes out.
Yes.
Mm.
But I know because someone literally was just talking about it. I read it this week. They're like, oh, will we see Clef, I think the first Witcher, in Blood Origin? And I said, no, because Blood Origin is like 1200 years before the contention, before the current Witcher timeline. Yes, yeah. Not the contention, but it's 1200 years before the current Witcher timeline, and mages are only made 300 years ago, so I don't think there would be any Witchers in Blood Origin. Okay, well, am I getting it all wrong? Okay, that phase.
Unfortunately, I'm knowing a little bit, but I can't say obviously a word. But I think it will be a very, very good watch.
Okay.
That's all I know. Yeah.
Okay. Definitely gonna watch it. I'm excited. Yep.
There we go.
And he strikes again.
All right. And they say witches are humanless bastards. Who said this? Lambert to Cohen, Geralt to Nennica, Malsak to Geralt, Istrid to Geralt.
I think it's this one. Nope.
It's actually Istrid. I think Geralt must have made a joke before. I don't remember what the joke was, but it's during their conversation.
I think I remember Musak joking with Geralt as well, because they keep on like having this nice relationship, but nah.
Because I know exactly where you're coming from with that, Chota. That's obviously in season one. Because there's the bit where they're at the feast. I think that is...
Right. When he refused it, child of surprise. I think he refused it. And he was like, he starts joking about it.
Yeah,
now you're going to be your father, or something like that, in those lines.
Malsak was obviously had a lot of humour with Geralt. And I did think that initially, but then, again, like, cutting room, seen it a lot.
I miss Malsak. He was one of my favorite characters because when I was watching season one, I was like, everyone is such a bad person. I was like, they're all like morally questionable. But Malsak and Geralt were pretty much the only ones who were like always nice and good and trying to do the right thing. So
and had sense of humor. Yeah.
I was sad when he died. But listen, maybe we'll have more flashbacks. I was like, oh, great, we have flashbacks in season two.
We all love flashbacks. Let's get more flashbacks this season.
that's how you guys get to come back, right? Because you guys are, dead. But if you have flashbacks, you can come back.
Read the books. That's what I'm going to say.
I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm going to read the books until the season's over. Until the whole show's over, because like I don't want to get spoiled.
Fair.
I know book fans are probably like horrified. They're like, but you have to read.
I think you should take each medium for what it is on its own. So if you're going to read the books, just read the books for the books. If you're going to watch the show just for the show. If you're going to play the games for just for the games. Obviously the worlds are, they're all the same world, but they all tell different stories slightly differently. And I think you should just be absorbed into that medium for what it is.
The show is an adaptation. You can't really expect to be specifically like the book.
No.
But because for the books, you've got the books.
Yeah, and you've got...
It's recreational. It's more like...
The show is based solely on the books, whereas the games are based after. That's always something to keep in mind. Just enjoy them for what they are.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been, you know, I'm sure if you guys are online and if you're reading about, you know, people's feedback about the show, yeah, there's a lot of people who are like, why did they
It's not patient. I mean, you can't really be that. I really don't want to get into it, but
yeah,
just show for what it is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Also, it's entertainment. It's really not like geopolitics.
See the special effects, see all the what's going on, the action and the fun about it. And so, yeah, just enjoy it.
Yes, exactly. Awesome. Positive attitude, yes. And I thought you were going to be a spoiled, high-bred, drip-nosed royal from the West. Vesemir to Ciri, Lambert to Ciri, Triss to Ciri, Cohen to Ciri. Yes, you got it.
I was going to say, if you get that wrong... we were sat on the table as that was said. So if, and Hodder was sat right next to Freya. So if any of us got that wrong, I'd have been disappointed.
I heard this one or two times. Yeah.
Yes.
I just had to cough him during that scene, that take.
That, I hope that they, season one, they did a blooper reel. I put that together. And I did another one for season two. I don't know if I should be saying this, but hopefully one day it gets released because I did put that in there because it's hilarious. Yeah. Like, so that day, like, I was sat directly across the table from Hata and I was like sharpening my sword. And there's a moment he just goes. And it's like, I'm just looking at him like, dude, just let it out. Let it out. And he's trying to hold it, bless him.
I was looking down, just not to see anyone. I was like, please don't look at me, please don't look at me. But I was like, I could feel myself bumping. I was like, oh my God.
You were sat right next to Freya and one of the cameras was along the two of you. Of course, it's going to see you like, it's hilarious. It's hilarious. And obviously then like with COVID going on, it's like.
Exactly, like, don't get the cut out.
Anytime anybody went, it'd be like.
Yeah.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. So, is the blooper reel from season one? Is it like available to the public?
That got released Christmas 2020, I think. Yeah, that actually season one's did. Season two hasn't had that. Okay, I'm gonna again. I probably shouldn't be saying any of this, but they can't fire me. So when you're so when you're in the cutting rooms as an assistant, usually you're asked to put together different reels, so you'll have like a crew reel to play for the crew at the end of shooting, or you know, for Christmas or something, so like people sit behind the scenes can see sort of how the show's coming along. So you'll always put like a reel together at some point. But also when doing the rushes, you're always asked to look for anything funny and put it aside in case it ever gets asked for. So instead of going at the last minute, oh, we're going to put together a blooper reel and have to go through thousands and thousands of rushes. Like you always pull and put in a bin. I used to have a bin called just funny stuff, and I'd ask the other assistants if they've seen anything to give it to me. And I let you just put everything into a bin. And normally that's where you would leave it. But then I thought, because I knew what happened after season one, I thought I'd actually put something together. So there is something, it might change, it might never come out, but there is something put together aside somewhere in the archives. But yeah, we know we have to pull certain things, even when it's not us.
Nice. I hope it comes out. Maybe you can send an email to whoever's in charge, be like, hey, you got some people wanting it.
That's the thing. Like I didn't know that they were shooting like a behind the scenes making of. I knew that some of the guys had done interviews, so I thought there'd obviously be like a thing for that. But there were days when we're on set, like there's like a making of season two of The Witcher. And there's a bit like where I'm talking to Paul and Anna, and that's from Ep 6, scene 11B. and I'm messing about. And I didn't actually know, one, it was out, and two, it was being done. My mother called me one day and said that she'd seen it. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Went on, and then I was like, oh, okay, sorry. And I was like, ah, oh. And then you sort of go, hold on, the amount of times that we were talking about random stuff or doing silly things and pulling faces and messing about in between takes and stuff,
Yeah, don't worry, it's got music on it. They put the music there.
So yeah, I sort of now became a lot more aware. Because there are some times that we didn't even know where some of the cameras were, where we had like mostly double or triple camera setups. And like, unless you're sort of specifically like, oh, that one's there, I'm performing to that one because ABC.
A lot of time, we were focused on what we had to do, really. We couldn't be paying attention to the rest, you know. Like, once you're there, you're committed to what you have to do. And you can't really just wander around and see who's there, who's not. So that's the funny thing about being an actor. It's like you've got 50 people around you, but you don't have time to actually see them or worry about them. You've got to focus on what you've got in front of you. And in this case, it's just cameras and the rest of the actors. So,
Again, seeing 209, there was a really cool shot for the bit where we're doing the sort of welcome home toast, the breath of your lungs and whatnot. There was a really cool shot that wasn't used, and I know exactly why this wasn't used, because we spoke about it in the edit, where I messed up on the first two takes, and then Hota messed up on the last three takes, and they only did five takes. It's because I didn't know that there was a camera literally like right there, to my right shoulder. Just beyond my right shoulder. So when I'd lift my mug to the breath in your lungs, like I would block my face. Then eventually I got, after the second take, they were like, camera's there, just a little bit lower, a little bit more. I was like, oh, okay. So then after
that,
like perfectly fine.
People there in that shot. And we were one another, blocking one another there. So like,
and then, well, the last three, Hotter then would like stand forward and then like lean back behind Paul and
Gaz. He couldn't see the camera. So he's trying to go in front of him, but shit, I'm blocking him. He's blocking me. I couldn't see anything with the lenses. So it's like, everything was so dark. I had Tim at the very end of the take. I mean, another take where we were there. And he was just by the cameraman. So he was like waving at me so I could actually see something. And all I could see was like his white wig. I was like, all right, I have to look over there and see my lines there. So after my lines were cut. But hey.
That's it's tough. Like Hotter started becoming shy, and like the camera's there, just like,
yeah, fuck it, I'm going out of here.
Yeah, it must be. How do you like act when you can't see? I mean, it's like you can't even like, if you don't know even where the person is, like look at their eyes.
Well, the thing about Cormoran is, since we had a lot of fires going on and smoke and everything, it was really hard because also the lenses, it's like seeing through a tunnel. So yeah, anything that makes that even worse doesn't really help. So that actually gives you extra credit to the actors that can actually perform with lenses and do a great performance as they have done.
Yeah,
it's a challenge.
Yeah, I wear lenses, but obviously they're transparent; they're not colored.
I've never worn any lenses, and it was like my personal challenge.
Yeah,
when I did when we did the screen test. I mean, the day that we were there just to try costumes and all, it took me 45 minutes to get my lenses in.
Oh, boy.
And all the costume department was like, oh, shit. This guy. I was like, so I suppose the first time I do this, I promise to get better at it. And I downed it to 5 minutes.
Nice.
Doing takes. And we had to take them out and all that. So, yeah, that was my personal best, 5 minutes, putting them in and out.
Well, do you guys want to see 5 seconds?
Yeah, literally, mine just in.
It's in my eyes. If I love, it just go away. It just to the straight lines there. I look at the vanity office.
Oh, back in. Mm. There we go. Nice. Mm. All right. Next question. Okay. Which monster does Geralt use to draw Ciri out? I think this is 6. Garkane, Basilisk, Zogul, Chernabog. This is her first, like, help. Yes, nice, Chernabog. You got it. Do you even recognize, well, the Basilisk you also recognize, but do you recognize the other two? Because I had to, like, Google. I was like, oh, which are monsters?
I just know that those two aren't in the show. and the Basilisk is what's in episode 8. Mm-hmm. And it's mentioned in season 1. Chernabog, again, Ep 6, I did quite a bit of work on.
So rare.
In particular, sound for Chernobyl. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, How did you get the sound for the Turn the Bug?
There were like, so James, the first assistant editor on that one, and we spoke a bit about like what we think sound should be, and we just sort of mixed a few things up. It's, I have like a whole hard drive, a 1 terabyte hard drive of sound effects that like I will layer, you know, like a lion roar with a snake hiss with other bits and bobs. You just, until you make something sound unique. Then there's like the flapping of the wings. Yeah, it's quite a process, but it's fun. It's definitely fun. But
it sounds very creative. Particular.
Oh no, this is like one of the most fun things about being in the edit for me personally, is when I sort of get a scene, I get asked to do sound work. It's, I just sort of go in, and yeah, it's that's probably the most fun I have. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. Yeah, combining different animals.
Yeah. It's like, it's, what does like, a Chernobog box sound like? A Chernobog. So you sort of go,
I don't know that.
Sorry? I know, I should be a little bit more professional. I'm sorry. research Chernobog is a bit more.
Interesting. Yeah. Right, yeah, what if so, like, what if in the books it's described as like, I don't know, a high-pitched whinnying sound, and you're like, let me do a live score.
Well, there is, sometimes I will do sound effects myself, and then like modulate them, tweak them, and obviously layer them in other stuff. There was something, I can't remember, there was something that needed a high-pitched whine, and I actually found, I used the sound effect of, it was a supercharger from a car in it. And it apparently it worked. And other bits, like in episode 7, season 1, the when the, what's it called? The gate thing. It's got a specific name, but it drops down when Geralt is talking to Iced. That I actually used a train on the passing by on train tracks, that was actually a modern train in the initial obviously layered up with other bits, but a train was in there. So yeah, there you go.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, nice to hear that, you know, how it's made.
But then it obviously goes off to the professionals and yeah.
All right, who does Triss call for after she and Vesemir are attacked by Rance? Lambert, Geralt, Yennefer, Rupert. Okay, I thought this would be easy, but fine.
I think I know this one.
I'm gonna play it safe. Nope. Oh yeah, shit, did.
I thought this was funny because apparently they have some kind of like antagonistic relationship. But who does she call? She calls Lambert. Yeah. Just saying. It's like, who are you gonna call? Ghostbusters. Lambert.
Lambert. Shout out to Paul.
Lamb chop.
Yeah, I haven't read on in the book, so I don't know if there's supposed to be any romance between Triss and Lambert, but why not?
I will let you read the books.
Okay, what is the tool that Nenica wants Ciri to use? Demiridium, Medallion, Orbiculum, Megascope. What's that thing? Nice, you both got it, the Orbiculum. Which, by the way, I was very confused about because she gives it to her and she's like, just take it. There's like no explanation. And she's like, what am I supposed to do with this?
Play with it.
I still don't know. I don't know what it was supposed to be used for. Sense magic? But then, yeah, it was still a mystery. I guess the audience is supposed to be like Ciri. We're really like clueless.
There you go.
All you care about is your damn duty. Who says this? Ciri to Geralt, Triss to Geralt, Yennefer to Cahir, Yennefer to Fringilla. Okay.
Really? Oh.
Yeah, this is in the beginning of the episode when they're walking away on the horse and Ciri's mad at Geralt. He's like, you know, oh, you kept me alive, like you didn't want me to potentially die when Vesemir injected me, but you know, what about me, my feelings, like what do I want to do? Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
This is me not trying not to cough.
Watch out for the pooper.
Yeah. But yes, and she's like, being like a teenager, she's like, you know, you just care about keeping me alive. You don't care about anything else. So
keeping me alive.
Yep. I get that. My daughter is only 10, but I feel like she's definitely preteen. We have these kinds of arguments.
They keep you on your toes.
Yeah. After she died, I kept one to remember her by. Siri says this about Calanthe, Francesca about her mother, Triss about a schoolmate, Yasgir about a fling.
Was it the scarf?
No, it was the flower, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when she's walking with Frangella and revives the flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. There was, yet again, that tragic backstory. with her crazy father. All right, I think we're in episode 8 now? 31? No, but can't count. Yeah, 7. What name did Yasgir give one of the mice? Rolf, Gordon, not Geralt, Anna. It was Gordon, but not Geralt. That would have been good because he was very bad at Geralt.
He was. And I don't know why I selected that. Because I think in the back of my mind, I did know that. I should have tried harder. I'm sorry.
Oh, what do you guys think of that scene? I sing this song the whole time, by the way. So lock me up and sack me up and throw away the key. Go F yourself, you horseman, because you're through effing with me. I love it. I sing it all the time.
So, we often get an idea of how a song is going to be perceived from when we get it in the cutting room. And if we're sort of humming it or singing it, which happens a lot, it's like, okay, this is going to be something. Because there'll be points where we're like grabbing a coffee and it'd be like, oh, God damn it. No. So, yeah.
Which one of the, I guess I'll ask you guys, which one is your favorite? Which your song from season 1 and season 2?
I'm going to go for season 1's one, like the original one, the coin. I think that's the one that really got stuck. That never gets old.
I heard that so much. And that was the one that we were all, so like the very first time that we heard it in the cutting rooms, we had it, like all of us were humming it, singing it. And by the time the show came out, it was so embedded in my soul. It was just like, oh, wow. And then there's something about Burn, Butcher, Burn. That was, I think, season 2. That one got me very early on. The very first time I heard that. Again, cutting music in a show like this is always interesting because you'll have obviously the editor will cut it and you'll have takes where there's no music and, you know, bless him, Joey's just going or whatnot, and it's all got to match up. So it's always a bit like the editors when they have to cut music to picture. And then when it's given over to me, so like when we're turning over, so we're handing the cut to like one of the vendors, so in this case like the composer or whatnot, we'll have to put, we layer everything, so you'll have like sound effects on one layer, the dialogue on another, and then you'll have music usually at the bottom. And always, like I always have to separate out something that's, you know, recorded for the scene separately. And I remember turning over music for those eps, and it's just that song every time. I think it's gonna have to be Burn, Butcher, Burn for me from like doing the turnovers and whatnot.
It's full of hatred. It's a bad song. It's like, it's actually good because it's done from the heart, but it's full of hatred. The other one is sort of more joyful, and it's like,
it's about, obviously, we are witches at the end of the day, and people should be tossing coins to us, but not at us. But I don't know, it's I just have a different relationship with that song this season.
They're both really good ones.
I mean, Joey's fantastic.
He is, yeah.
genuinely amazing. And he's an absolutely, absolutely lovely guy. So yeah, it's a bit, I probably should like Toss a Coin a bit more. I think
I've been listening to his Amazing Devil stuff, if that's what you meant. Tossing the coin to that. Never mind. I misinterpreted it. But it doesn't matter.
But no, hats off to Joey.
Yeah, so you're saying he wasn't actually singing it when they were.
Oh, no. There are takes where he is, but there are also takes where he's not. So depending on what they have to do in the scene and for the cut, sometimes you'll have the music playing and he'll be playing along and singing live in the scene. But again, sometimes you have to shoot the scene without it. And you'll get, he'll like have a cue as a reference. Sorry, this is me like get rid of all the magic. He'll have a cue as a reference and then he'll just be like timing it in his head and, you know, miming. But that's literally for the edit. But they do have, there are, you know, takes where music, singing, the rest of it, which is why it can be a little bit hell to match things up in the cut. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I always wondered about that when I saw music videos. So I guess it's just a lot of hard work.
Music videos are easy.
Oh, yeah.
I used to do music videos many years ago.
Nice. Where does Dietrich say strange stomach ailments are all coming from? South, rivers, forests, mountains. This is where he goes to Aretuza. And Tristan says Tris has a stomach ailment.
Wow.
It's related to you guys, so.
I think I've got this one wrong.
He says in the mountains. Which is kind of, he's kind of hinting like, hey, I know Tris was in Kaer Morhen.
Sorry.
Yeah. The spymaster doing his sneaky stuff. All right. What does Lydia attempt to do with the vial of Ciri's blood? Blood tracing, alchemy, potion mixing, steaming.
And between the two, actually. Going to go for that one.
Blood tracing. I love Lydia, by the way. She's very freaky, as she should be.
Yes.
Oh, she was so scary.
Especially after. Yeah.
Yeah. If what you say about that girl's power is true, then you can't help her. Nanika to Geralt, Triss to Geralt, Yasgir to Geralt, Vesemir to Geralt.
Well, nope.
Oh, it was Nanika during their conversation. Let Mella tell you. Yeah, I love this line. She just has a really great way of saying her lines, very pronounced way. Gentlemen, it's been an honor. Geralt to Michelet Brothers, Yasgir to the Mice, Yasgir to the people who's rescuing, Yennefer to Elves. Nice, you both got it.
It's just a moment, isn't it? It's such a moment.
Yes, I love it. But, I mean, I think Netflix like put it up as a separate clip like for promotions, and I know every line from there by now. Like, what, girl? I've made friends. Get over it.
Yeah, get over it.
Yeah, and I'm happy that Yasgir finally like talks back to Geralt, because Geralt like really did not treat him very nicely throughout the whole show. And I think that's
good. That's right. Like Geralt, which is good.
Yeah, you know, someone needs to tell him, be a little nicer to your friend. Malseth warns Ciri that there better not be what in her pockets. This is episode 8. Dirty knuckle bones, pieces of cake, sage leaves, playing cards. This is in Ciri's, you know, dream sequence. Right when he wakes her up to go to the banquet.
I always look so smug.
No, I didn't know this one.
Call back to season 1 when she's playing Knuckle Bones.
Yep. And she's like so excited. She's like, I can't wait to go to the banquet. And also, I was like, what's wrong with you? I was happy to see Malseth again. Poor man. Sorry.
Turned to dream, right? Once she's like dreaming.
Yeah. Which stone does Yennefer tell Yasgir to bring to Geralt? Hermitite, Jasper, Limonite, Moonstone.
Oh, fuck. I'm sorry.
Yep.
I should press that one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one that kind of tricked the guy and put it in the front with the it's the one she's wearing around her neck. Yeah, it was Jasper. Yeah. I haven't heard of Jasper before, but who does Siri gladly dance with this time around? Paul, Harry, Martin, Lupus. It was also from season one, where she didn't want to dance with him in season one, but now she's like, yes.
I think it's in between two as well. Yeah,
you got it, Martin. I thought that was such a good way of showing that, like, she's been through so much trauma since then, and she's like, "Oh, I'll gladly
this." Anyone, dance with me.
It's like the things that she complained about in her previous life are like nothing now.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
I try to think about that whenever I'm complaining about stuff in my life. I'm like, well, it could be worse. Yeah, I could be running away from, you know, Moraine army that wants to kill me. There are too many medallions hanging on that tree. Vesemir to Geralt, Geralt to Vesemir, Lambert to Ciri, Cohen to Vesemir.
Nah.
It's.
I knew it was between them both. But it's like,
right after leaves my room, and they meet in the hallway, and they're talking about the fallen witches.
Which actually was a little tough because he's like, well, I don't want more witches to be killed, but then because they didn't kill Ciri, more witches were
killed. Daughter of a demon, she's done too much damage.
Yeah, well, sorry, she did kill you guys, so have you forgiven her?
Yeah, oh well, we'll see in the following season how it goes. I'm forgiven yet.
Maybe your ghost will come and haunt her. Well, maybe Siri will wake up with that ears. Maybe. I mean, honestly, that would be good if she like felt guilt for what she did, you know, now that she's not possessed anymore.
And we're just there, like.
It could all be a nightmare, and then she wakes up and we're all there.
Okay, last question.
Here we go.
Yeah, this is one.
What witches do best? Make a potion. Who said this? Yennefer, Triss, Volothmir, Geralt.
Well, it's not loading. Oh, there we are.
Yep, that's you guys.
Me just be locked out behind Paul's luscious locks.
Yeah.
That was trash. Nope, that's when she's playing it without magic, and then she's trying to play it.
Says it to Jaskier.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes. So what are you going to do? Use your magic or something like that? Is that what witches do?
That was a funny line. But they didn't even use the potion. She just like dropped it. I mean, smashed it on purpose. Which I didn't know why she did that. But did you guys know why? Like, why did she smash it?
Because it wasn't needed. She needed to obviously
give her a new home. Or something. Mm. Okay. Well, let's see who won. In third place, we have nobody. In second place, we have Gwaine, 15 out of 40.
Yeah, made it to the podium.
And our winners are 32 out of 40. Not bad. Okay.
And I should have done better. I'm sorry it wasn't.
You had a crap. Well, from here, I know like how hard it is.
That's the point.
Because if you got 32, then it's probably too hard.
No, I think it's right. It's good that I didn't get all of them. But I should have done better. The way I've explained things and seeing as much as I have, I should have got at least one more. No.
One more?
At least one.
You've won. Just deal with it.
I think you did great. No, is there anyone who is like, I don't know, who do you think would get the most? I guess out of everyone you know or people who worked in the editing process, like who's watched it the most times?
Oh, in Lauren. I was about to say Lauren should. Henry probably should. Trying to think now if I go to the cutting rooms, that's a hard one because obviously it's done in blocks. I'm one of the few people in editorial, not like VFX or whatever else, who's across like all the episodes. The other assistants have like got two, pretty much like two episodes each. So
yeah. That's cool. They got to be in all of them.
Oh yeah, no, it's brilliant. It's a lot of work, but it's massively fun and clearly rewarding. So yeah.
Right. I know. I was thinking, I was like, what can they? I was like, can I actually like send you guys a prize? And I was like, I don't think they really need me to send something from America. Like, what am I gonna send you?
For us, it's the fun of taking part and doing this and just sort of reconnecting with the world. Because obviously, we, you know, this was like well over a year and a bit of our lives. And I've not really dabbled too much since it's come out. I've obviously done like a little bit regarding it, but doing other bits and focused on the production I'm working on at the moment. And so it's nice to sort of jump back in and dabble. And yeah, so no, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
It was nice remembering the old days.
Yeah. Because, well, so this, so for us,
it brings up all the memories during the set and during the shooting and everything like that.
Because when did this like officially start for you, Jota? When did this start for you?
Oh, I can't really remember that.
Journey to season two.
Wow. I moved to, the UK right before they closed my country. I was like, I got there, and then the following week, because I think I was...
Did we meet the first day?
I met Chewy during the audition. I think we did meet the first day when we got the same production car taken to the studio.
Yeah.
We met there.
So that would have been the 10th of February.
Okay. There you go.
And that's funny because we met on the 10th of February 2020 and our last day of filming was the 10th of February 2021, exactly a year from that point.
This is my jaw on the floor.
Wow. Yeah, but the thing is, I met Chewy during the audition and he had a spot in his place. I was like, I've got an empty room, but you can come. And he's like, well, you're going to get the role. I'll tell you that. And he got the role. Oh, and then when we met again, it was a screen test day. And it was like, you were right, you're right. I told you. And I was like, so about this place that you have and all that. So that would be March, I think. And on the 14th of March, I was already in London, I think, or at the end of March. I don't know.
Well, you were here in February. That much I know. Oh, no, hold on.
For the audition, I was coming back and forth all the time.
Oh, no. So
I came for the audition, flew back home. I started getting all my stuff ready.
Yeah.
And missed my flight, by the way. I thought it was a Wednesday and it was a Thursday, or the other way around. I thought it was a Wednesday and it was a Thursday.
Mm.
So I got mixed up because there was a lot of things going on that were going to close the borders as well. Mm. So I was like, I need to get out of the country. I need to fly into the UK before they close the country. So I was like, my dates are not that well.
So it was my second time at the studio is when I met you for your first time at the studio, because I went and did my contract and so forth.
Oh, you went in first. Okay.
Yeah, because that day was very, I probably shouldn't say, but that day was very funny when I got to the studio for my very first. It was a bit like, but yeah, I can't say too much because it was all like in the production office and people were about and it's like that person and that person and that person. And things happened, but it was fun and funny. I'll have a word if I
like about very that. Specific.
Yeah,
like...
yeah. That person
I think it all started for me in November when I sent my first presentation to the audition, and then I got the role. Well, I got the pass in order to do the audition, the final audition, and I flew to London, and then I came back. So it's like, since I was going back and forth all the time, I can't really tell the dates. I'm not that good with numbers and dates. That's not how I know.
Why not?
But yeah, I would say February was a month. That was absolutely the month that everything got all wrapped up and started all this journey.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, I'm happy that we are more social. I thought it was funny. So you and Chewy were living in the same apartment, and then you got the set, and you like can't talk to each other. You're like bubbling on set.
No, we were allowed to stay together because we're like we're sharing the same house. Like, yeah, okay, you two are safe. You can stay together. And
if one gets ill, the other gets ill.
But again, we had tests constantly. We had, what, 5 tests a week? Oh. If we short like 3 days, we had like 5 tests. 2 days before, then the very same day before jumping on the chair, before we left. And it's like, then 2 days after, it's like, we were tested at anything but security during the shooting. Yeah. We were safe and paranoid. I was paranoid. I still am, actually. I can't get over it. Which is like, you see people getting back to their lives and not risking anything. But we were a test away to getting the role. And we've been always a test away of actually working. So,
my case, went into that lockdown.
May start with my mental health.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I say, we spoke a lot during lockdown. Because we were supposed to start filming. Our first filming day was the 26th of March. And we went into lockdown on the 23rd of March. So it was a bit like...
We were going to go in, yeah. I was like, no, you got to wait till who knows when.
But, yeah.
That's tough. Oh, I'm glad you guys made it. literally. Yeah, it must be tough to... I mean, I guess everyone experienced that. But.
We're the only two shows allowed to shoot during the pandemic.
What was the other one? In England?
In London. I think it was the Batman.
Was still... we had... Pennyworth was still going. Because I worked on Pennyworth, season 2. Pennyworth, that kept going for a reasonable amount of time. The Batman, when that had a little bit of a hold, came back and then had another halt. That had a halt when I went back to Pennyworth just before filming in Witcher. Because I went back to Pennyworth
I think during the process of being greenlit in order to go back and shoot, I think there were only like 2 shows allowed. Netflix only allowed The Witcher. And there was another thing going on. I think it was Warner Bros. And that's why I think it was The Batman. I'm not sure. I can't remember. But we were one of the only shows allowed. Mm. And we're like so lucky to be part of it.
Were you guys disappointed that you weren't going to be traveling? Because previously, like, you probably would have traveled to, you know, other parts of Europe.
That was...
Yeah, we're going to go to Bulgaria, I think.
Oh, nice.
To shoot. Or Budapest, I can't remember where. But, yeah, well...
It happens. Yeah. Next job.
Yep.
On to the next. That's how it goes.
All right, well, thank you so much for coming on and, you know, doing this really
well. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I'm happy we finally coordinated. Hopefully we'll see if we can do maybe Max and Chewie together for the next one. But I was like, we can't push it off anymore. It's just,
understandable.
A lot of people together is just maybe
and
not.
Again, so sorry for last Sunday. That was
okay.
So, yeah, that was just, so no, my apologies. But today, glad it happened. It's been massively fun and thank you.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, and I have lots more questions. So I'm going to be doing like other trivia questions with podcasters and probably just to the general public. So yeah, if you guys want to do more trivia, I have like one per episode. and then like one with all the phrases.
let's keep talking. And so long as time permits.
Yeah, awesome.
Happy to do it again. Excited.
Thank you so much. I'll publish this probably next week. I hope next week.
All right.
Yep.
Well, it's been a pleasure.
All right. Thanks so much. Have a good day.
Bye.
Thank you to my current patrons, Susie, Lady Libris, Lily, Jenny, Molly, Veronica, Emily, Joe Michelle, Saucy Cuggles, Ian Rose, Priya, Alexa, Misty, Joanne, Patty, Imelda, Esther, and Watching People, First Poppy, Seed Marie, Emily, Jean, Jen, Erin, Kate, Lily, Beckett, Saranda, Christine, Sadie, Kelly, Daniel, Teresa, Mrs. Castaldo, Dan, Tatiana, and Louisa. Your support is truly appreciated.